Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded with the single mission to assist healthcare organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air to engage in conversation about patient experience with a focus on the development and optimization in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm A.J. Malaragno, president and founder of Cingala Consulting, and the host today of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences, as well as the experiences of our guest, and today's special guest is Chip Borkowski from the ALB Group, live every week at 11 a.m. Central Time and on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. Today's topic is blending new and traditional marketing. When I first joined North Shore University Health System back in 2001, my role was specifically in the interactive marketing department. Although we were in the marketing department, I very rarely spoke to the traditional marketing staff members, and was really chartered to get the website up and running and make sure that the colors are correct and we have some kind of representation of the clinical areas. And through the years, I spent about 11 years there, it became less of a territorial between the interactive team and the traditional marketing group, and we wanted to blend our message. And I think it all came to a head when, at the time, it was Evanston Northwestern Healthcare, changed their name to North Shore University Health System. And when they did that, it became clear that we needed the one voice and one message, regardless of how our patients interacted with us. So if they were on the phone, if they were online, if they saw a billboard outside, everything needed to be linked together and look the same and represent the organization in a way that needed to represent the organization in a way that the brand and the elements of the brand were consistent. When we started down that path, we used to hire individuals for your typical marketing PR type activities, and then you hired a different group of individuals for the content development of a website, and then tried to blend the two, and it became quite difficult. So what's happening today in most healthcare organizations, as we are going around as Cingala Consulting now, we're realizing that organizations are hiring these hybrids. They're individuals that can both interact and create content for traditional means as well as the social media channels. And I think what it has done is it's made it easier in the communication to reducing that gap between your traditional and new media marketing and even the hiring. The individuals coming out of college today, this is the way that they're taught. It's no longer just writing or just website content. So what I did is invited Chip Borkowski to our call today. Chip is an expert in both traditional as well as new media. Chip started the ALB Group in January of 2008, applying what he's learned and taught to a generation of marketers. During a 20-year career as a leader in strategic marketing and advertising, for Chip, class is always in session. He's constantly looking at the marketing world in new and engaging dynamic ways, offering clients a refreshing and revolutionary way of thinking about their products and services. I can speak firsthand on Chip's experience of really pushing the envelope to make organizations look at how they market, how they sell, how they position themselves to the market in different ways. So with that, I wanted to welcome you, Chip, to our show today.
Thanks, AJ, and thanks for having me. but I'm going to actually send you my book, Managing Expectations, because I hope you haven't raised the bar too high for me. So, no, but I'm really excited to be on the show and really talk about new marketing. And really, it's I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. And maybe it's semantics, but when I hear new marketing, I always try to clarify. Are we talking about, you know, 2013 online communities and web 2.0? So is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect lead-in, Chip. What is the definition of new marketing? Because 2-3 years ago, new marketing could have been looked at as let's have a presence on Facebook or Twitter. And you know, today there's many different aspects of what that new marketing is. And what's your definition of what new marketing is of today?
Okay, you know, online community, web 2.0. What's critical, no matter what the industry is, it needs to be consumer engaging content. Whether it's on blogs, podcasts, you know, product reviews, white papers, or any of the social media assets. It needs to have content that the consumers will find interesting and they'll engage with.
Do you see when you're going into organizations, are they first asking you for new ideas, or are they helping you, or are they asking you to help them with executing their existing programs, and do you find yourself pushing them to these new ideas?
A lot of times, you know, through the needs analysis or through a referral for a new client, they don't know what they don't know yet, or they think they define new media as this way or innovation as that way. So I really always try to go back to fundamentals. You know, in writing, get what the objectives are from the client and understand the challenges, understand the goals. But it's really, you know, it's business 101. Get the objective in writing. So once we get that, the onus is on me and my group or my strategic alliances to come up with the strategies and the tactics.
So given that and your vast experience across multiple industries, I can argue both sides that is marketing different or the same in healthcare versus other industries. But what are the biggest differences that you've noticed when going into a healthcare organization in how you position your offering or how you position the organization?
It's the healthcare clients that I work with. It's really hard not to get emotionally attached. Just the healthcare industry as a whole, you know, just by definition, it impacts people's lives differently than my auto clients or my real estate clients would. So, you know, it's not that we work any harder or smarter, but it's really almost more important when it comes down to, you know, reality. Some of the things that are different with healthcare is HIPAA, and that is, you know, I think I would call those golden handcuffs. It needs to be there for all the right reasons, but it certainly can make challenges for getting the right information out to the right people. And so the pendulum is towards everyone's safety and security as it relates to information, but there's a time and a place when I really feel the consumers should hear about, you know, maybe what a CRO is working on or some test, and you just have to be very, very careful about how you tell it. You know, a lot of the marketing that I work with the healthcare clients, you know, will not only go through the marketing department, but it goes through legal.
And do you find that a lot of the healthcare organizations use HIPAA as a major barrier to try something new, or has HIPAA been around long enough now that people kind of know the ins and outs of what they can and cannot communicate to patients?
We've become very knowledgeable about the HIPAA compliance and the rules, regulations, and maybe where some, you know, some things can be a little bit more gray, and then you can push the envelope, and if you get a call to ask to pull it back in, you can. But no, they don't use it as excuses. They're very concerned about it because the clients that I work with in the healthcare are truly and sincerely patient-centric.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always the common denominator. Whenever we sit down at meetings, we go over the mission statement, we go over the vision, the values, all of that to make sure that all of our recommendations and decisions are based on, you know, the patients and really what's best for them.
And over the years, I know that it, at least for me, in my marketing role in healthcare, was moving from brand awareness to actual execution, meaning it was great 2002 to maybe 2006 to get the name out there, to be able to search for a physician online, be able to learn more about a clinical area such as cardiology or oncology. And it has now moved to being able to execute on that, meaning, okay, I learned about this service, I learned about this physician, now being able to act on it and schedule an appointment. What are the expectations that you're seeing out there when you're creating these marketing campaigns or programs from the organization? Is it more about the branding, the awareness, let's move that needle, or is it true throughput into the organization?
It's getting patients who can benefit from your healthcare client the best. Now, there's a lot of doctors and hospitals that could do, you know, very basic procedures very evenly. So a lot of times, you know, they'll go to their local doctor and then they get referred in. But one of my clients is a cancer center, a national cancer, you know, service provider, and they, you know, a lot of times they get asked for second, third, and fourth opinion, and so what we do is through our marketing is provide the consumer, the patient, and or their caregiver or loved one. It could be a daughter, it could be the husband, but we give them enough information to make the right decision, whether it's at one of our hospitals or if it's at a hospital in a different state, you know, that we're not a part of. So we provide content, educational content. There's the old saying that knowledge is power. The way that we provide content, whether it's narrative, whether it's research-oriented white paper, whether it's video content, or whether it's even a cancer specialist who takes your call 24/7 or through an email or through a digital chat, we provide them with objective information so they can truly make an educated decision on what's the best way to treat their condition. And whether it's, you know, local, regional, or national, people will fly across the country for the right treatment.
Chip, you mentioned something about communicating to the caregivers. And I'm really glad that you said that because just so often organizations are focused on the technical aspect of dealing with a certain condition and not the, I don't know, lack of a better term, the operational aspect of it, of those caregivers that are trying to get them, get the patient into the organization, deal with the insurance companies, deal with multitude of bills that come to them. How is your or what is your experience on this cancer center dealing with the caregivers and what specific things do they do for them that help them in this process?
The caregivers are actually a part of the treatment team. You know, I could tell you from personal experience. My wife is a breast cancer survivor, and when we would ever go to her doctor appointments, And I'm not saying this is just necessarily true for my wife, but I've heard it over and over again. You know, a patient who has cancer often will hear all of the negative stuff,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's their husband or daughter, you know, a friend, they hear truly what, you know, the doctor said. And so, you know, you have four ears hearing the same comments and counsel from the doctors, and then so you can assimilate it and then talk about it afterwards. That's a very, very important part of just not being in front of the doctors at the bedside or in their office, but that's a big reason why, you know, we're working on some very large initiatives. One of them is it's called Cancer Central, where it's a content management database that we're working with Empowered Medical Media out of New York. Russ and Adam do a great job. We have great medical writers, great medical experts from all over the world who provide video and narrative content. But when you leave a doctor's appointment, often you need to go back and find more research. So we make, you know, this one website very user-friendly to where you can actually turn this cancer-driven website into breast cancer or pancreatic cancer, and then you don't have to read the information on any other cancer except what your diagnosis is. And that's good for the consumer to really only concentrate on information they can, you know, they need to worry about.
I like how you you stated that the caregivers are part of the treatment team. I've not heard that before. That's really important in the entire care process. You can see why you're a marketer. I like that. Chip, execution of a marketing program, whether it's new or traditional, is imperative, especially in today's world where every dollar is watched in healthcare, and it's no longer about you know, how many people viewed my website or how many people you know, clicked on this link. It's about how many patients were we able to get through our doors. What steps, if any, does the ALB group take in your organization to not just focus on the marketing and making sure everything looks right and the content, but now you have to deal with when that phone rings in the contact center, how do you work with that organization to ensure that the phone is answered and the patient has that single call resolution?
Well, to truly be of the most value, you need to be a trusted member of a team. So, you know, when we're the most effective is when we're really business consultants, marketing consultants, as it relates to our clients. One of my clients, Cancer Treatment Centers of America, has a very, very well-oiled healthcare machine. They, you know, I've sat in their call center and witnessed how these cancer specialists respond to a call. And they're open 24/7 because when someone's diagnosed, they can't sleep. And so they might get a call at 3 in the morning. They want to make sure that they get the right information. So whether the person who answers the phone or is on the other line of a, you know, a chat or an email, they have to be experts, not just in medicine, but they have to be experts in empathy. They have to understand what that patient or the loved one is actually asking and the information they're looking for.
Right. We always say at Cingal, Chip, is that when that phone rings, you have no idea what is going on the other end of that phone, whether it's good news that they're expecting a baby or something worse. And I think that is such a key role that the contact center plays, and even the website, even the content that is developed, videos or audio, whatever that they're having on their website is so important.
Yeah, I need to get to your answer to your question on really what are the expectations of the client, right? So for me to be able to put an analysis together on return on investment on the marketing dollar, and we actually go back to the basics again, and we go back to the objective. Is it important to a client? And I'm not necessarily talking about CTCA, but does the client look at the metric of, you know, ranking of a Google search, or is it a conversion of a lead to a patient? What is the metric? So once you know the metric, then you can you know, design a program that fills that that bucket. Now, when we sit down with our clients, we're just not talking to the marketing, the PR, the legal, or, you know, or, you know, client care. We often have the chief revenue officer in there because, you know, marketing is considered an expense item, so we just want to make sure that whatever budget and ROIs that they look for that we can attain. And what we will do is move, obviously, marketing dollars from, you know, marketing tactic 1 to 2 to 3 based on ROI. So do we push people into new media, which was one of your original questions? We put the marketing dollars where we can track the best ROI. A lot of that is new media.
You can track the best ROI, or what is going to result in the best ROI?
Yes. we have some pretty robust metrics, as well as our clients do as well. We have a really good idea, the quantifiable ROI, but there's always some subjective statistics that we look for as well.
Right.
You know, a customer survey. You know, what do they like best, what they like least, and things like that. So there's quantifiable things, there's qualifiable things that are all engaged.
Okay.
But, you know, it goes back to the client and their goals, effectively.
Let me change gears on you a little bit here.
Yep.
I've been hearing a little bit about transmedia, and I'll be honest, I'm kind of ignorant to it. Tell me a little bit about what transmedia is and how organizations are using it or starting to use it.
Okay. Do we have 2 minutes or 2 hours?
We have 2 minutes.
Okay. Transmedia is really storytelling. It's storytelling with a purpose. So I'll give you an example. Multimedia has evolved into transmedia. Just because you have a spot on radio, TV, and the newspaper, that's the old multimedia way. Now what they do, for example, is part of the storytelling is chapter one might be on a TV spot or TV programming. Chapter two in the story would be on the radio spot or radio programming. Chapter three would be on the social media assets and things like that. But they are synthesized, so they are they're linking together one message for one goal.
So Chip, if I can use a simple example, maybe, and tell me if I'm on the right track here. As I'm watching a TV commercial, mm-hmm. I think GoDaddy did mm-hmm. it a few times during the Super Bowl commercials, where they start to tell a story, they lead you right up to a certain point, and then tell you to go online to see what happens. Is that some version of that?
Well, that could either be, you know, cross-platform marketing or transmedia. I'd have to look at it to make sure that there is synergy between the media assets and the messaging. But I wouldn't necessarily push a client into transmedia if it doesn't make sense for them.
Sure.
However, based on consumers wanting so much content, and it isn't always written, it's not always white paper, video is a very, very, very important part of content. And I don't see that going away for quite a while. But it's tying together all of these assets with one common goal based on plan.
Got it. You mentioned video
mm-hmm.
as something that is not going away for a long time. And as a matter of fact, I have direct experience with organizations that are really engaging more into video, less into readable content, I guess. Mm-hmm. Are you experiencing the same across other industries? What are you seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. Video is the foundation of several initiatives I'm working on. And video doesn't have to be, a 5-minute or 10-minute corporate video anymore. Again, it's a part of a plan. You can have your 6-second Vine. You have a 15-second spot for pre-roll online. You have a 30-second commercial, a 60-second commercial. So again, you need to look at what the goals are and where you're going to be spending money. You know, is it online? Is it on air? You know, radio, TV stations, and newspapers all have digital assets as well. So that's really important to understand the value of video. A lot of times, or many times now, it's easier to do search engine marketing on video rather than a website. Mm. It's easier to get higher ranked often.
So as we're coming to the end of today's show, Chip, I see a lot of organizations out there trying to reinvent themselves. And I don't necessarily know if that's directly correlated to rebranding or as a result of an acquisition or a merger. What advice would you give an organization on where to begin? I know that a few organizations that we've worked with at Cingala, they have binders that are 3 inches thick of their program, of what they did to rebrand themselves or relaunch themselves. Where do you even begin as a large, specifically healthcare organization, but any industry?
I would say consider everything you've done in the past as a sunk cost. So you don't try to repurpose information or valuable information that are of no concern to the consumer. Just because you have 100,000 brochures that cost you $5 million in your storage room, don't just mail those out because you spent money on them. Spend money wisely. That's a sunk cost, possibly. And just look and, no matter what the business is, it's about the consumer. So just either be a pioneer and create some of that curve for those consumers, or be an early adopter of innovation. Don't be innovative for innovation's sake. Don't be overly creative for creativity's sake. It's more about what the clients want and what is the most cost-effective way to reach them. Make it viral or contagious, to use a medical term. But if we can get a message out to the patient or the caregiver cost-effectively, they will repurpose it to the people that need to read it.
Chip, thank you so much for joining us today. I know that I did, and I'm sure our audience did as well, learned a lot about the new role, I guess, of new media and what role transmedia is playing in that. So, again, thank you for joining us today. And everyone, this will conclude our show for today. Please join us next week when our topic will be outsourcing contact center functionality, where we'll have executives from Stericycle, who recently acquired the Barrel Group out of Dallas, Texas. Thank you for joining us, and please visit us at cingolaconsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. And please remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.